Tonight, we're going to talk about words. You know, it's an interesting thing about words. It is the way we communicate through our words. There are many languages that is used upon the earth, many dialects of different languages, even dialects of the English language. And we'll learn that if we go to Britain or to Africa, we will hear different dialects of the English language, particularly. So interesting stuff about words. Let me share some things about words that you may or may not know. There are some 700,000 words in the English language. Did y'all know that you knew 700,000 words? Well, you probably don't. If you've ever looked through an unabridged dictionary, I have an unabridged dictionary at home, and it's two volumes, and both of them are about this thick. And they were made in 1961, which means they're really out of date. So it doesn't even have all of the words in the English language that we use. It is said that the average lead pencil will write about 50,000 English words in the life of the pencil. The Bible, the King James Version of the Bible, contains 773,746 words, which are more words than we have in the English language. Each person will speak about 26,800 words a day. Now, this is enough to fill up a 500-page book each week. The average person uses, get this now, 773,650,000 words in a lifetime of 75 years. So those of you who are over 75 in this room, y'all have already beat that with ease. It's amazing, isn't it, to know that people have come up and figured out all of these things about words. I want to share with you some things about words tonight. Words are very important. In fact, Solomon tells us that life and death are within our words. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, Solomon said, death and life are in the power of the tongue. God in heaven listens very carefully to our words on earth. True or false? That is true, isn't it? Yes. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Now, James says it in a little different way. He says that words can set on fire the course of nature. In other words, it affects life. Our words affect life. In James chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, James says, even so, the tongue is a little member, but yet boasts great things. Behold, how little a fire kindles, how large a forest. The fire, or the tongue, is a fire, a world of iniquity. So the tongue is set among our members, spotting all the body and flaming the course of nature and being inflamed by hell. So all of these passages of Scripture are telling us words are important. What you speak and what you hear are definitely important in life. Now, with that thought in mind, I want to ask this question. What are the most important words in our life? Do we have words that are more important than other words in our life? Well, yes, we do. Some people may think that these are the most important words in life. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States, against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same. Does that ring a bell with anyone in here? I see Jack raising his hand. We have several in here who have spoken these exact words. They are the first part of entrance into the military. These words are important. And several people have taken that oath because they are that important. Some people think that maybe these are the greatest words. With this ring I thee wed, and with all my worldly goods I do thee endow. Many people have spoken these words at one time or another. And these are important words. They mean that you have literally given your life to someone else. That someone else in your life is that important that you give to them everything that you are in life. But you know, as important as these words are, they are not the most important words that we hear in our lives or that we say in our lives. The 10 most important words in the English language come from Acts chapter 8 and verse 37. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. These are the most important words that you will ever speak in your life. They're more important than the words you devote yourself to the military or the words that you use to devote yourself to your spouse. Because these words, you are devoting yourself to God. You are confessing who Jesus Christ is, the Son of God. The word confess is used many times in Scripture. In fact, the word confess is used some 47 times in Scripture. And it included other factions of this word, such as confessed, which is used 7 times, confession, which is used 6 times, confessing, which is 3 times in Scripture, confesseth, that's hard to say, folks, confesseth, which is the old King James Version, is used 3 times in Scripture. There is also another word, the word profession, which is sometimes translated from the same word confession in the Scripture, is used some 12 times in Scripture. You know, the word confession is broken down in 2 ways that we read of in the Bible. We have our confession of faith, which most of us in this room have already done. We have confessed our faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And then there are also the confession of sins, which again, most of us have had to do that as well. Confess our sins for God to forgive us our sins. Tonight I want us to break down this particular word, confession, and explore this 10-word statement, which is saying that we confess Christ as the Son of God. First of all, this word is a unifying statement. It unifies every one of us together as children of God. Every Christian who has ever lived since Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, who have confessed Christ, have united themselves as one. All who go to heaven during the Christian age begin at this point by saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Each makes the same confession that the Ethiopian made here from our text, Acts 8:37, when he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So there is a 100% agreement about who Jesus is, what Jesus did for us, and what Jesus is going to do for us. And it brings unity for us together. And David said this is a pleasant thing. In Psalm 133 and verse 1, David said, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity." But not only does this word confession bring us together with each other in unity, it also unifies us with God. Our confession, when we make this statement, is telling the world that we are in an agreement with God and the word that He has given to us, and declares that it be true. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about how strong and how powerful this word actually is, but this is what we do when we say, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." We acknowledge fully who He is and who God is. It is a unifying statement. It is also a public statement. It is a public subscription to the divine creed that says Jesus Christ is the Son of God. A confession by mouth is required to verify one's faith as God, as Jesus, as God's Son. And we have all done that. It is one of the things that must happen in our lives for us to become a Christian. Now, going into Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, Paul twice said that confession was to be made with the mouth. He said that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Raising our hands, nodding our head, signing a pledge card, writing a note will not satisfy these needs. We must state it verbally from our heart, coming from our mouth, that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It is a public statement that we make to all men everywhere as to who Jesus is. We are to profess Christ. A profession, a confession, is literally the same thing. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, he said, "Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." In other words, Timothy, you let the world know that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And because of that faith, because of that knowledge that you understand, you can take hold of eternal life, which God has promised you through His Son. And isn't that a wonderful thought? To know that by professing Christ, it means that we have wonderful benefits because of it. And then finally, it is a turning point statement in our lives. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, it says that the Thessalonians turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Why? Because they came to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In verse 10, it tells us that they determined to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. That means, my friend, that a public declaration has caused a change to take place in our lives. Because we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we are no longer going to live for the world. We are no longer going to live for ourselves. We are now going to change our course in life. We are going to change our conduct. We are going to change our mouth to match that which has come from God. You see, we know from Matthew 7, verse 13, that the sinner is traveling down the broad road that leads to destruction. But at the point that he is willing to make a turn, the point that he is willing to say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he is turning around. He is making a turning point statement. I am changing my life. I am giving my life to God. I am going to live my life for God. He has a new Lord. He has a new code of conduct. He has a new hope. He has a new goal. And every one of us in this room have this very same thing, because we have said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now let me say this. Confession, this 10-word statement, is more than lip service. I imagine that every one of us at one time or the other in our lives, and some of us may do it daily, make lip service. Our actions verify our words. Unless our lives reflect our confession that we believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we will forfeit our salvation. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, Jesus said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. We have got to make that turning point in our lives. And we can't just say it. We have to do it. There's so much power in this statement. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. These words are so powerful, in fact, they can save you. These words are so powerful, in fact, that you cannot be saved without them. It is part of God's plan that you say the greatest words that will ever be spoken. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Tonight, my friends, if you are not a Christian, you can make that statement tonight. Those 10 simple little words can put you in favor with God. Those 10 simple little words can remove your sins. Those 10 simple little words can offer you eternal salvation. And these words, along with your repentance of sin and New Testament baptism, you can become a child of God, and heaven will be your home. And if you have left God as a Christian because you have allowed other words to come in and out of your mouth, because you have allowed something else to cause you to give your allegiance to them, you need to come back to the Lord. Confess your faults. That's where the second part of confession comes in. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another. And God has promised that he will forgive if you will. So remember the words you speak. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You said them verbally once when you became a Christian. And my friends, you should be saying them every day of your life to verify who you are and who you belong to. If you need to make a change in your life, we give you an opportunity to do that now while we stand to sing the song.